All right, we do thank you for your giving. Let's bow our heads and let's pray over this preaching moment. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, God, we do thank you, praise you, love you, honor you, and appreciate you. Thank you for all that you are and all that you mean. God, we ask that you would bless this preaching moment. God, let your Spirit of God flow. Let grace and truth be taught and showed forth, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, would you say amen? Come on, with your Bibles in your hands, repeating after me, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I will have what it says I will have. I'm a part of Deliverance Temple, where we love by living our vision every day. We connect with our Creator continually. We confess our deliverance consistently. We commit to serve creatively. We communicate Christ's love compassionately. Father God, feed me your word. If you believe you're going to be fed, go ahead and make some noise this morning. All right, so we've been in our people series, and we are closing it out today. Six sermons altogether. This will be the sixth and final one, but let's give us just a recap. I won't go into the details. We're just going to recap the names of them. So the first one was people of purpose. The second one was people of power. The third was people of peace. Fourth, people of praise. Fifth, people of pleasure. And then today, it's people of prayer. People of prayer. Let's look at a definition of prayer. And every time I give you these definitions, it's from the Oxford Dictionary. And this says, prayer is a solemn request for help or expression of thanks addressed to God or an object of worship. And for the previous five sermons, I would say that these definitions have worked and they have been good. But this definition here is woefully inept. It is not good again. I'm going to have him flash the definition back up again. And let's just look at it again. A solemn request for help or expression of thanks addressed to God or an object of worship. Not to say that this is entirely incorrect. It is just far too incomplete to be full as it needs to be. So let me just go ahead and make it really simple. Go ahead and flash that up for him. Prayer is much, much more. And what we're going to try to do, we're going to try to teach it from the aspect that it is much, much more. It's more than now I lay me down to sleep. Lord, I pray my soul to keep. I said in my bedtime prayers, it's much, much more than that. It's much more expansive. And to be honest, I can't blame the Oxford Dictionary because there's no way they could put all prayer is into short capsulized words. And so I understand why they left so much out and didn't have enough when they said what prayer is and was. And so let me see if I can do it this way. I'm going to give us one thing prayer is not and seven things prayer is. One of the first things you can do to learn what something is to look at the opposite of it and see what it is not. And then we're going to tell you what things it is. And so to keep us from being here all day, and because you guys have blessed me during Pastor Appreciation Month, I am going to condense a lot of this stuff, but really I could dig into a whole lot of it. So what I'm going to try not to give a whole lot of verses, and I'm going to try to do a lot of lists. And so when we start, there's going to be a lot of lists, but this is going to start with the verse. And so let's look at Matthew 6, 5 through 6 and have Mother Mitchell read.
When you pray, Don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on.
First thing not to be, don't be hypocritical when you pray. If you're going to pray, there needs to be a sincerity that is fueling your prayer. If your prayer is formed or based out of hypocrisy, you're wasting your time. So I got to tell you what prayer is not. So let's go and read it in its entirety. I'll try not to stop you again this time.
When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get.
If you're praying for people, that's the reward you're going to get. Ooh, he sure can pray. I'm telling you, that Andre, he can, when he get the mic and pray, he sure can pray. And then I say, well, I didn't get what I prayed for because that was my reward. Because I was actually doing it for the people, and I wasn't really doing it for God. So look at what it tells us to do next. Verse 6.
But when you pray, go away by yourself. Shut the door behind you and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you.
Will reward you. I say this all the time. Public power starts in private places. And so never judge someone's reward when you don't know what their private time looks like. Let me, and I just heard her say, preach, Andre. Let me talk about my wife for a minute. She has been, for the last several months, has been setting an alarm at 5 a.m. to pray. Not once a month, but every single day. Not for sure what it is that God is calling her to, but she's not doing it for me. She didn't ask my permission. She didn't tell me about it. The only way I figured it out is when I told Alexa to set an alarm for me. Alexa said, this is the second alarm. And I'm like, well, what's the first alarm? She said, the first alarm is 5 a.m. I'm like, who getting up at 5 a.m.? And I realized it was my wife. So she wasn't doing it for me. She wasn't doing it for the family. She wasn't doing it for DT. She was doing it for God. So if God rewards her, don't get mad at her, because it started in a private place. Same thing for many of you. Many of the things that is happening to you openly started in secret, private places. All right, so let's put up the first one. Prayer is not performative. It is not a performance. It's not about how eloquent you can sound so the people will like you. I'm a single deacon, so I want to get the mic and pray real good so the cute ladies know that I can pray. That's not the purpose of prayer. Amen. All right, so that's what prayer is not. Let me give you a few things prayer is. And so before I go on to them, let me just use this. This is not in the few that I'm going to tell you, but prayer is personal. It's not performative, it is personal. And real prayer really doesn't happen in this building when everybody is around. Real prayer is personal. But I'm going to give you some more P words and we're going to number them. Let's go number one. Number one, prayer is preferred. It is the preferred method that God has for his children to communicate with him. It is the preferred method. And so since it's preferred, number two, that means prayer needs to be priority. So since it is his preferred way to communicate to his people, then his people need to make it a priority. Let me give you an example. So when your car says it takes premium gas, that means it is the preferred type of gas that the engine takes. So when you go to the gas station, don't look for 87 unleaded. Look and prioritize based on what is preferred. The manufacturer knows what the car is supposed to take. And the manufacturer who created you knows what you need. And so he says, my preferred method is prayer. So prioritize my preference. All right. Let's go to number three. Partnership. It is partnership. So when we think about it, let me go back to me and my wife. When you are a partner with someone, you begin to know their preferences. And so you prioritize their preferences. If I know my wife doesn't like pickles, when I'm away from her and I'm at Chick-fil-A, I order a sandwich without the pickles, because that is her preference, and I prioritize her preference because of our partnership. See, when you begin to partner with God, you begin to prioritize what he prefers. This was the problem with Cain and Abel. Cain gave God something he did not prefer. He didn't prioritize what God preferred because he didn't have a real partnership with God. But when you have a partnership with God, you prioritize what God prefers, and what God prefers is private prayer. All right, let's move on. Number four. And prayer is not spectating, but it is participation. Because it is a partnership, that means God allows you to participate. Now, participation doesn't mean take over. This is one of the things that I try to make sure I teach in our staff meeting, that we want to work together. We don't want to take over. So since I'm partnering with God and God is allowing me to participate with him, that means sometimes when I'm praying, it's my turn to shut up. Because prayer is a dialogue, not a monologue. It's not just what I'm saying, it's also what he's saying. So since we are partnered together, I participate and then I let him participate. Let me say this again. I've said it before, so I won't stay here too long. But why are you praying for God to do stuff and then you keep messing with it? So you participated by praying. Now let God participate by working and get out of his way. Let's go to number five. Very simple. Prayer is practical. It's very practical to do what your partner prefers, which I've pretty much explained. But if you are a Christian, prayer is just practical. Let me give you an example. I came over here early this morning to make sure that the heater was on for the pool. And so also I wanted to finish my sermon, so I thought I would just kill two birds with one stone, come over here early, work in my office, check on the heater. And then I was doing some stuff with the sermon, and I said, well, let me go check on the heater. And the heater was not working, and the water was extremely cold. I tried a bunch of stuff, and I couldn't get anything to work. But God told me to pray about it. So I prayed about it. But when I left here, the water was still extremely cold. And I texted Brother Will, and I told him that be careful, the water is going to be cold. And I told my wife that I'm going to give the baptismal people, I'm going to give them a chance not to get in the water because it may be too cold. But even though I did all of that, I also prayed. Because prayer is practical. I don't know nothing about the electrician stuff. I actually called the person who set it up, and he happens to be out of time, getting ready to catch a flight, so he was not going to be back. He told me a few things to check. I checked them, but nothing worked when I left here. And I left here at what time? I left here at 9:55 a.m. Nothing was working. Let me go ahead and just fix it real quick and not go into a long story. But I told Brother Will some things about it. He checked some stuff, and he's like, hey, Andre, I got it on. 10 minutes later, the thing is just warm as it can be. I don't know how it worked. I don't know what happened. All I know, it's practical that when something is over your head, that you just put some prayer on it. I can't figure it out. but I'm putting some prayer on it. I can't turn it around, but I'm putting some prayer on it. I'm doing the things that I need to do just in case it doesn't work out. But in the meantime, I'm putting some prayer on it. Now, let me throw this out here. Even though it's practical, many times for even us as Christians, it's one of the last things we do. We'll go to everybody and we will forget to pray about it. But God wants to put you in some stuff you cannot figure out. That way you have to partner with him in prayer to teach you. The most practical thing you can do in your Christianity is to be a person of prayer. All right, number six. Here it is. Prayer is just preparation. Prayer is so practical that it prepares you. Those of us who are prayers, when we are getting ready to go on a new job, we pray. When we're getting ready to go on vacation, we pray. When we're getting ready to do our taxes, we pray. It's practical, but it's also preparation. It's making sure that when I get to the situation, that I'm not overwhelmed by the situation because I've already prepared the situation with some prayer. I'm putting prayer out ahead of me. I'm putting prayer out in front of me. I'm putting prayer out to prepare the way, to make the way. It's practical and it's preparation. Let me give you number seven. And here's this. This is prayer is petitions. This is what most people think prayer only is. It is asking. But that's just a portion of what prayer is. Prayer is petitioning or asking God. But all those other things are important. Let me do this, put this up here. Let me give you five more things prayer is. I couldn't just stop at seven. Let me give you five more. And let me put the five just all on one page. Prayer is purposeful. Prayer is powerful. Prayer is peaceful. Prayer is praise. Prayer is pleasurable. Wait a second. People of purpose, people of power, people of peace, people of praise, people of pleasure. Wait a second. Prayer, if we are people of prayer, it covers everything we've been talking throughout this whole series. All right, put this up there. If we become people of prayer, we will fulfill everything in the people series. So if you say, you know what, Pastor Andre, I appreciate all the series, but I didn't totally forgot it. If you get this principle, you're going to get all the rest of it. Because you got to learn how to pray on purpose and pray with power and pray till peace comes and pray till things happen and pray until you push things out of the way and pray. And then you realize prayer is pleasurable. Now, it wasn't necessarily always pleasurable for Devin to get up an extra hour early at 5 a.m. when she's tired. But one of the reasons why you keep doing it is because you find the pleasure in it. Yeah. It may cost you some discipline, but there's pleasure in it. Those people who go to the gym, the actual pain of the gym is not pleasurable, but the results are. So I keep going to the gym, and then you find out people, I actually enjoy the gym. I enjoy the pain because of the results. So prayer is beautiful and it's pleasurable. All right, so now put this up here. So here it is. It's on us. So now that we understand that more than anything, we need to be people of prayer, we need to understand that it's on us. Us, you and I. So just say that with me. Say, it's on us. Say this with me. It's on me. All right. So what we're talking about, we're talking about responsibility. So when the world begins to get more chaotic, instead of trying to find somebody to blame, take responsibility and say, I'm going to become a person of prayer. All right, and so to make it so succinct, very familiar scripture, but we're going to back up a few verses and get some context. 2 Chronicles 7:12-14, read.
Then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard your prayer.
Heard your what?
Your prayer.
All right.
And have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice.
Ah, I've chosen this place as a house of sacrifice because I've heard your prayer. Let me change what I just said. I said when the world is chaotic, let me fix it. When your church is chaotic,
yes.
When Deliverance Temple is a mess, the scripture says, I have chosen this place because of your prayer. So if the people in the church would start praying, then God would choose the place. And so it is on us, not just the pastor. It's on us to be people of prayer. Let's go further. Look at verse 13.
When I shut up heaven.
Who?
When I shut up heaven.
Who?
I.
Right. Who is the I referring to? It's referring God. To God. God says, if I shut up heaven. All right, read.
When I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people.
He said, I'm not talking about when the devil does it. I'm saying when I've gotten fed up and I'm allowing punishment to come into the land. When he says shut up heaven, there is no rain, that means famine. So back then, they were agriculture people, so everything was about agriculture. Then after that, he says, then I'll allow the locusts to come and devour the crop. When I do that, if God does that, what can you do? Your arms are too short to box with God. But that's not what the next verse that's so familiar says. Read that next verse.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray.
And what?
Pray.
Yeah.
And seek my face.
Yes.
And turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land.
Ooh, so it's on us. Somebody said, well, that's what they get. God is getting them. But God says, even if I am getting them, if you would get on your knees and pray, I'll turn the situation all the way around. So many of the problem is we're looking at the world and telling them they're the problem. And God is saying, if I had some people of prayer, I could solve the problem. All right. It's on us. All right. Now we're going to try to dig a little deeper. Let's go here. Six unique kinds of prayer. And the reason why I'm saying that is because we all know about coming to God. God bless my sister. God bless my cousin. God touch this. God bless my shoes. God bless my family. Nothing wrong with that. That is petition prayer. But that is not the only way to pray. So I want to give us six unique kinds of prayer and show you how to be people of prayer, because the scripture says men ought to always pray and not faint. Then it also says we ought to pray without ceasing. So I need you to understand there are several types of prayer. There's too many for me to cover. I'm just going to give us six unique ones. So let's start with number one. Put it up here. Number one is reading. What do you mean, Pastor Andre? Reading. Let's be honest. This is a book, but it's not really a book. It's really a library composed of 66 books. There are history books. There are poetry books. There's prophetic books. There's apocalyptic books. There's narrative books. All of that has been compiled. So when you read, it's not confusing why you don't understand, because it would be like walking in Books a Million and all of a sudden knowing everything about all the books. There's no way you're going to know, except for we have direct access to the author. Not the authors, but the author of the authors. So when you go to read, you read prayerfully. Either you pray before you read, or you pray while you read, or you pray after you read. Let me give you an example. Father God, I'm gonna get into this scripture, and I don't really understand it, but I'm praying, God, that you would open my understanding. You're praying before you read. Now, as you're reading, God, why would you say that? Now you're asking him questions while you're reading. And then after you get done reading, God, thank you for what I read. I don't understand it all, but I thank you for it. And I'm praying that I would understand a better by and by. So now you're praying after you read. So your whole reading time can be prayer as well. So don't just come up here reading, blah, 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 blah. Well, I didn't get nothing out of it. Let me try something else. No, take some time to pray while you read. All right, let's look at Psalms 119, 148.
My eyes are awake through the night watches that I may meditate on your word.
As I've read, there are times that my eyes open up in the midnight hour and stuff that I read is down in my spirit and I begin to meditate on what I read. Well, here's the thing. You can't meditate on your read, on what you read if you never read it. So once you have read it, then it can turn into prayer because it gets in your spirit. Have you ever found yourself quoting stuff? You don't even know where it is, but you know it's in there. I read it somewhere, and it's just stuck in my spirit. What is happening is that is prayer. So your reading time can be your prayer time. All right, let's go to Ephesians 3:14-20. I'm going to go ahead and read this, and this is because the very last verse 20 is very, very, very familiar, and I'm just going to read the entire thing, and I'm going to point one thing out to show you something. So Ephesians 3:14 says this. It says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Paul is writing, and Paul says, "For this reason I bow my knees." So that means Paul is praying. Let's look at verse 15. "From whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." 16, "That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man." Verse 17, "That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height." 19, "To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." And look at verse 20, the familiar verse. "Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." What is the point you're making? I'm going to make the point really simple. At the beginning, Paul says, "I bow my knees." So basically what Paul did, Paul wrote down his prayer. So if you would read the prayer, you are actually praying the prayer that he prayed. Yeah. So what you can actually do, you don't always have to pray with your eyes closed. You can actually turn to that prayer and say, "God, I want to pray a prayer. And I don't have any words to pray, but Paul's words were good enough. So I'm actually going to pray the word of God." You go in your prayer closet, open up to a prayer in the Bible, and begin to read it and pray. You are actually praying. Another thing, and I got to go on, the scripture says, "According to the power that works in us." And when we read that, we think it's only talking about the power that works in us. But Paul was the one who was praying. So Paul was saying, "According to the power that works in me," everybody who reads this prayer, I'm praying that the exceeding abundance would fall on them. So there are prayers all throughout the scripture. All you got to do is read it. Hallelujah. Reading is prayer. All right, let me back up and say specifically Bible reading is prayer, but you know other kind of reading is prayer too? You know when you're reading Cosmopolitan and you see something and be like, "I don't know if that's true or not." Talk to God about it. If you read everything they tell you, coffee's bad one week, coffee's good one week. They tell you all kinds of stuff. There's all kinds of stuff coming out. So pray over all the stuff you read. "God, what is this? What do I need to know out of this?" Sometimes read the symptoms, and not the symptoms, but the stuff that they tell you that the drug is going to do, the side effects. Read every one of those side effects and say, "God, I come against every one of those side effects. I'm going to read it out loud, and I'm going to pray to you to take care of it." Reading can help you in a lot of ways if you know how to turn it into prayer. All right, let's go into this, and this is ties right into our reading. Number two, reflecting. So let's look at Psalms 111 verse 2. Read that.
"How amazing are the deeds of the Lord. All who delight in him should ponder them.
Oh, so now the stuff that I have read, I now begin to reflect and ponder and think and meditate on those things, not just things that were done in the scripture, but things that have done to me, things that are done to the people that I know. That's why back in the day, good testimonies were beautiful, because you would hear somebody's testimony and you can reflect. I sometimes reflect on stuff that my father testified about. That reflection is also prayer. So take some time to just meditate and reflect. Let's go on to number three. Journaling. Journaling is also a form of prayer. Read this famous verse, Habakkuk 2, 1 through 2.
I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me.
Watch to see what he will say to me.
And what I will answer when I am corrected.
So if you know Habakkuk 1, he was complaining to God about the state that was going on amongst his people. And he laid out all his complaints. And so at the beginning of chapter 2, he says, I'm going to shut up. And I'm going to watch to see what he is going to say to me. And it says here, and I'm going to answer if I'm corrected. Because God may say, I'm the problem. I tell a story all the time that I went to God about Devin, and God told me I was the problem. So prayer makes you do this type of reflecting. But how can it get into journaling? Let's look at the famous verse that happens next. Go to the next verse.
Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it.
In other words, I'm going to talk to you, but because you are finite and you are limited in your understanding, you're not going to catch it all. So I'm going to need you to write it down. So many of you can pray through journaling. You can heal yourself through journaling to hear what God is telling you and to begin to write those things down and go back and look at it and read it, and it can be part of your prayer time. Those of you who understand journaling, it's beautifully important to you. But I would encourage some more of you, especially men. We hear stuff like journaling, we think, oh, that's too feminine. There are certain things that are prayer that can really bless your life. You're not going to catch everything. Write some stuff down, jot some stuff down. Sometimes I'll pull my phone out and I'll just make a note of something that I can come back to later. And when I reflect on that and read that, what am I doing? I'm spending time in prayer. All right, let's go for number four. Rebuking is also a form of prayer. Zechariah 3, 1 through 2, read that.
Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right side to accuse him.
Mm-hmm. Read.
The Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem, rebuke you. Is not this man a burning stick snatched from the fire?
All right, so we see what Jesus did, or we see what happened in the scripture, and we arm ourselves likewise. There are some things we don't go to God about. We go to the problem and we rebuke the problem. When Jesus was in the boat, and the disciples were thinking that they were going to sink, and they woke Jesus up, he didn't say, Father, I need you to take care of this storm. No, he said, I rebuke the winds and I rebuke the waves, and things turned around. There are some things you don't go to God about because he gave you the power to handle it. And all you got to say is, Satan, the Lord rebuke you. Because some stuff is not God, it's Satan. And so you go directly to the source and you rebuke it. Sometimes you got to go to the mirror and rebuke the one you see in the mirror. Because sometimes that's your problem. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus, and it gets you back right. All right, let's go to number five. It's on the same lines, binding and loosing. It's very similar to the rebuking, but let's look at Matthew 18, 18.
Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven.
So we are ambassadors of God on the earth. And so there are things that are not in heaven that don't need to be on the earth. So if my Father in heaven is not in debt up to his eyeballs that's going to take him out, then when I'm in debt up to my eyeballs that's going to take me out, I do all the necessary things I'm supposed to do, but I also start binding and loosing. In other words, when I'm in debt up to my eyeballs and my heater and furnace goes out and we're getting ready to go into November and I know I don't have money to pay for it, I go to the heater and I start binding in the name of Jesus. I bind every problem. I'm not paying for no other part. I bind it up in the name of Jesus and I loose it to work. I command it to work. You begin to bind and loose. You take the authority from heaven and you bring it down into the earthen realm, and God doesn't want me stressed out over this furnace. So furnace, in the name of Jesus, I command you to obey. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I bind what you're trying to do and I loose something else. Sometimes it's your child and you don't have time to talk to your child, but while your child is away from you, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke every spirit that's coming against him. I bind friends that mean them no good. I loose good friends and good company. You take your authority and you begin to bind and loose. Not everything do you go to God and ask about. Some things you take your God-given rights and you step into your power. All right, let's go to number six. This is another form. Here it is, repenting. Let's look at Psalms 51, 1 through 4. Read the whole thing for me.
Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions.
Whew. Y'all know what Psalms 51 is about.
Yes.
If you know all the mess that he did, that what I like about it is, let's see, I think I want you to go. Go to verse 4. Put up verse 4 of that.
Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest.
Go back. Yeah, that's why I was confused. I thought we didn't get some. We missed a couple of the verses. Go to 2 and 3. Read those.
Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, mm-hmm. and cleanse me from my sin.
Number 3.
For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me.
I acknowledge. Sometimes God don't want you praying and binding and loosing, and you ain't acknowledge some of the stuff, junk that you done done. Amen. God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the way I acted. I'm sorry for what I done. I'm sorry for how I was thinking. God, wash me. Make a clean heart in me. God, fix me. God, I know I can do better. Come inside of me. I know I can be a better wife. I know I can be a better husband. I know my tongue gets loose sometimes. It doesn't hurt you to start repenting, to start coming and saying what it is that God needs said. Yes. It's okay to pray a prayer of repentance. Not just for salvation, but to make sure that you are doing what needs to be done. All right, let's go to, this is supposed to be number 7, but it says 6 again. Put it up here. Crying is a form of prayer. Crying. All right, Psalms 18, 5 through 6, read this.
The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me.
Look at verse 6.
In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears.
Some of you women who are emotional, yes, there are times you need to get your emotions under control, but don't think that your tears are not important. Your tears are important as well. When you are in distress, cry out to God. Even you men who are overwhelmed, and you may not be crying literal tears, but cry out to God. That is prayer as well. Turn it over to the Lord so he can work it out. Psalm 61, 1 through 2 says what?
Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, Lead me to the rock that is higher than I.
These are all unique ways of praying, whether it's reflecting, reading, crying, repenting. All these things are forms of prayer. So don't just think you got to just be asking God things. There's so many ways for you to be people of prayer. Let's go to a conclusion here. And I'm going to give you a quick, what I call prayer cheat sheet. Just a quick prayer cheat sheet that comes straight from the scripture. But it's going to give you more context than what you thought it was before. So let's look at Matthew 6, 7 through 13 and just read all of it. So take her all the way from 7 to 13.
And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them. For your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Amen. So this has been called the Lord's Prayer. And what we have done is we have recited it. There's nothing wrong with reciting it, but when you recite it, you sometimes miss that it is actually a formula. It is actually a prayer cheat sheet. So we're going to break it down and give you this prayer cheat sheet. So hopefully the next time you think of the Lord's Prayer, you will realize how easy it is to actually pray. So let's start off with the first part of it. The first part of it is relationship. Our Father. So that's why when I pray, I say, Dear Heavenly Father. Because I'm talking about the relationship I have with him. But I also say heavenly because I'm dealing with his location. So the location is in heaven. Our Father who art in heaven. So you're dealing with relationship and location. So you're talking to who he is to you and where he is. Because he's not on your level. He's on a higher level. So he's my Father who is in heaven. And then we're talking about his authority. Hallowed be your name. Because whenever you have someone's name, you have their authority. If I was to go in the, what is the legal term of right of attorney or whatever it is called, when you have the right, especially if someone is sick, and they have the power of attorney. They have given you the power of attorney. They have to do it with their name. They have to sign something with their name to give you the power of attorney. Well, God has given us his name. So that's why we say hallowed be your name. Because if it wasn't for your name, I wouldn't have any authority. So I respect your name. And I don't want to take your name in vain because your name is where I get my authority. So our Father, which art in heaven, hallow or praise your name, because your name is important. Your name is so important that every other name has to come under your name. And at your name, knees will bow and tongues will confess. So that's why I hallow your name or I praise your name. So sometimes when you go to prayer, you don't even get past this part. Because after you say, Dear Heavenly Father, and you begin to praise his name, you forget what you was going to ask him about. Because his name is great. He's a matchless wonder. He's a mighty wonder. He's a mighty God. You begin to praise his name. All right. Let's go further in the cheat sheet. Then you begin to talk about his dominion. Thy kingdom come. The kingdom is everything the king has dominion over. So God, let your dominion come. So when I was talking about binding and loosing the furnace, I'm saying in heaven, you don't have no issue with a furnace in heaven. So I don't want no issue with my furnace right here. So I'm bringing your dominion from heaven down into my earthly realm. When I ask God to deliver me from my addiction, you don't have an addiction in heaven. So I want your dominion from heaven to come into my earth and reign over my earth. Your kingdom come. But also now, your will needs to be done. So not only am I just praying your dominion, but I'm praying that I line up to your will. Because not everything that I want is what you want. So God, let my will yield to your will, because your will has to yield to the dominion of the king. Then we pray the order. The order is on earth as it is in heaven. I begin to look at what is heavenly and begin to try to get that to be replicated here on earth. Then the scripture says, then you ask for your daily bread. So you don't come to God and say, God, do this, do that. No, no. First start off with who he is, the relationship, the location. Pray his will, pray his kingdom, and then you ask for your daily bread, the things that you need. All right, let's go on to the next one. And then it says, add this, forgive. So forgive us and others, and forgive me in the way that I forgive others. So God, if I forget to forgive others, I want you to forget to forgive me. So I learned the lesson that forgiveness costs somebody something. So if I want to be forgiven, God, help me to also forgive. You have to pray that, because forgiveness doesn't come easy. You actually have to pray that God would help you forgive. And then you deal with temptation. Now, deliver us from evil. So God, deliver me. I know what I got in me that ain't no good. So God, deliver me. God, work on me. That's why you are doing repenting prayers, to acknowledge what's in you. And then you pray, God, deliver me from evil. If I got some stuff in me that's going to trip me up, God, don't lead me in that direction. Close doors that need to be closed and open doors that need to be opened. This is just a cheat sheet on how to pray the things of God to come into your life. And all of these don't have to be prayed at the same time. Sometimes you're just praying the temptation prayer. Sometimes you're just praying the hallowed be your name prayer. Sometimes you're just talking about him being your father, but they're all ways to pray. And then you close with a rehearsal. You say who he is again, and like we did earlier in our praise, then you say amen. So he says, for thine is the kingdom. Thine is the glory. You're just rehearsing what you already know. For thine is the kingdom. Thine is the glory. In other words, I honor who you are. I'm so grateful I get to pray to you. I don't have to pray. I get to pray because you are the King of Kings and you are the Lord of Lords. And that's why it's important to read, because what you've read will end up in your prayers. You begin to pray stuff that comes straight from out of the scripture. You begin to pray, I thank you that I'm the head and not the tail. You don't ask to be the head and not the tail. You say, the scripture says, I already was. So God, I thank you for your glory that I'm the head and not the tail. I thank you that I'm blessed when I come in and when I go out. I thank you that God has supplied all my needs. I thank you that the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want, and he makes me to lie down in green pastures. I thank you that the name of the Lord is a strong tower and the righteous run into and they are saved. I thank you for being the God that sits high and looks low. I thank you for turning things around in the midnight hour. I thank you for saving my soul. I thank you for dying for me. I thank you for resurrection power. The word of God that's in your heart, it shows up in your prayer. It shows up in your mouth. And then now your prayer time doesn't become like, oh God, I gotta pray. You are excited to pray. You pray in the grocery store. You look at the meat and you say, that meat's too high. God, show me some other meat somewhere. And you walk around and there's some meat over in the corner with a better price. Thank you, God. When you pull up to the parking lot and there's no place to park, God, if you can, just open up a parking space and somebody backs right up. You begin to pray for every situation and everything. And when God works it out, you begin to give God praise because I prayed to him. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. I sought the Lord and I prayed and he answered. I declared the word and he came through. And that's why I trust in him. Come on, come on, let's stand to our feet with a confession. If we become people of prayer, we'll get everything in the people series. So here's our confession. Let's put it up here real simple. Father God, help us to be people of prayer. Anoint us to pray. Anoint us to pray as you desire and bring us heavenly results. Let me stop right here and let me prophesy. Some of the results that's going to show up, you're going to know this came straight from heaven. God going to do some stuff that's straight from heaven. I prophesy, God, you're going to get some heavenly results. Even folk that don't believe in God going to say, God had to do that. Heavenly results. Now let's close this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to pray. Let's go ahead to our prayer. Let's close. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank you that you're calling us to be people of prayer. And God, as we are going down in Jesus' name, we are showing that the prayer is working. It's causing us to come together and to go down one way and to be raised up a new way. And we thank you. You're doing that for Deliverance Temple. You've taken us down, but you're bringing us up to new levels. And we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week. We love you.